praise you and thank you that we could worship on this Sunday morning, the day again that you rose from the tomb and purchased for us everlasting life. Thank you for the eternal life. Thank you again, Father, for the celebration of life here today. Father, as we remember our dear sister, I pray again that you just touch each heart in a special way. Anoint this worship service with your presence and your power. Hear each prayer whispered here. Touch each heart. Father, we love you and thank you again that we could come into your presence on this Lord's Day. And Father, lift up your Son and worship. Help us to do just that. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So we did have the funeral on Thursday, and I thought it'd be good to just go through some of the things that we did then this morning in our worship service, because some of our folks were out in the overflow area and you couldn't hear much through the speakers. And so I just wanted to, again, just walk through this again. And very honestly, there was a lot of tensions, there was a lot of emotions, and it's good to repeat some of the things that we did on Thursday. It was good also that we had four pastors here visiting, and it was good to have Brother Fenton come down. He's been a prayer warrior in Seneca Bible Baptist Church. He's been a prayer warrior for Jeannie for these past 2 years. And then Pastor Wittenberg was here, bless his heart, you know, a family friend for years of the Johnsons. And then Pastor Jeff Smith was pastor, Jeannie's pastor for 4 years here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. It was good to have him here. And then under Pastor Smith, they sent out a missionary again. Brother Lee Donna Pickett sent to Manitoba. I think that was in 97, if I got my dates right, which was the same year that Bev and I came here. So it was good again to have them here, and what a blessing it was again to have them as part of the remembrance of Jeannie as well. Let's go ahead and do the 23rd Psalm as we did then. It's a precious psalm, and again, as we look at that, it's good to have a shepherd. Praise the Lord. You get a shepherd to walk with you in this life. And the 22nd Psalm, he's a good shepherd and he giveth his life for his sheep. The 23rd Psalm is the great shepherd. And the 24th Psalm covers the chief shepherd that's coming again as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so there's a question to ask a couple times in that 24th Psalm that says, who is the King, capital K, of glory? And that is, again, our chief shepherd. So let's go ahead and stand together. Let's stand together and recite or read Psalm chapter 23. The 23rd Psalm, a precious psalm of the shepherd boy. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Find the old rugged cross, page 132. Love that old cross where the dearest and best cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then to call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Our hope's not in this life. It's one that's to come. Praise the Lord. We got a bulletin that's got a full obituary listing for Jeannie. I thought it'd be good for our folks to have that. Keep that in your Bible. And I hope it'd be a blessing to you in remembering and in rejoicing. When we let go of a saved loved one, the angels carry them off into the very presence of Almighty God, their Creator. Heaven gets more relevant to us, more real for us, and a little sweeter in our expectations. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, it says in Psalms 116:15. We know that they are absent from the body and present with the Lord. We reverently place that shell of a body into a tomb or under a sod, knowing that there is coming a resurrection day when it will be raised up incorruptible, as Christ's resurrected body was. At Christ's death for us, His spirit went to His Father, according to Luke 23:46. His soul went to hell, according to Psalm 16:10 and Acts 2:27-31. And His body was placed in an empty tomb. Death is separation. When a person is saved, born again, converted to Christ, redeemed by the blood, their soul is quickened with eternal life. It will never go to hell because Christ did that for us. Their death is separation, in that their soul and spirit are gone to be with their Father, and their body is left an empty shell. The hurt and tears come because of that separation. For a time separates us from them. And for a time, because Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? It says in John 11:25. So our loved one went to heaven, because any place that the full glory of Jehovah God is on display is heaven. It will be another 1,000 years before the golden streets arrive. It will be another 1,000 years before the 7 no mores that we looked at last Sunday will be in place. But they're in heaven just the same. And Jeannie is in heaven. And it is a far better place. We had a time of memory sharing, and it was precious at the funeral again. And Dave read the testimony, salvation testimony of Jeannie, which was so good to hear, and was a blessing. It lightened my load for preaching. In fact, a lot of what needed to be said was said during that testimony time for Jeannie. Now, I wonder maybe now if anyone has any memories they'd like to share with us from your thoughts of Jeannie. I didn't give you a warning that we do this, but
over and at customs, and they searched the car, And here's all this canned food. They brought dogs out, and I remember the look on my husband's face. He's like, "What?" So we had a great time. Keep money, saving so much money. But yeah, we got.
All right. Lots of good memories of Jeannie. Lots of them here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. I was figuring out that we would, for the past 20 years, would see Jeannie, and some of you more than that, would see Jeannie 3 times a week. You know, sometimes that's more than family saw Jeannie, so I'm kind of curious. But she was precious here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church.
I have one thing I want to add.
Yeah,
that
go ahead.
Is Jeannie's spirits are always kept up in all these different churches and places. That's one thing they commented on. They said, we're praying for her, but she has been more than blessed.
I also want to bring condolences from evangelist Mike and Jenny Patterson. Again, sent their condolences. I don't think I mentioned that, but that was last Tuesday. So. And then there was a card back there from the Bennetts. I hope you got it again. So. But, we appreciate again all the love that poured in and poured out. Thursday, one of them again mentioned the fact that, I think it was Terry, said she sang this song, and so let's open our song books to 840, and let's sing What a Day That Will Be. There, well, let's not do it, G.
Satan is the only
8 says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you have a Bible, let's open it up to John in chapter 14. There's so many scriptures I'd like to look at. There's so many references that I'd try to squeeze in here in a few minutes. And so let's start here at John chapter 14, the words that he spoke to his disciples at the close of his ministry. He'd already gone to be at Jerusalem where they would crucify him. He had several private times with his disciples, even though he was daily in the temple teaching. And in one of those private times, Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way, ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We've rehearsed this several times in the past couple weeks, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'll not repeat the Romans Road here, trusting again that you're memorizing it or have memorized that precious scripture and that path again that leads us to heaven. Last week, let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. Last week we looked at the seven no mores in heaven. And praise the Lord. We want to look a little bit about what happens between now and then. But here in Revelation chapter 21, we see the culmination of all of creation. We see again God's great victory over the fall in the garden. If you think about everything that happened in the fall in the garden, everything that's happened in these seven dispensations that we'll walk through, as the stewardship of man is tested seven times, we find that God has always had the idea and the end sight here, and given it to us as well, that there's going to be a total victory over the fall of man. And we will be so restored into God's original creation that he calls us a new creation. And again, that's given here in all the points, everything we've looked at again as far as the fall of man and the separation from the tree of life and the separation from creation and the groaning of all creation. All those things, again, are going to end here in chapter 21 of Revelations. And watch for the seven no mores as we go through this scripture. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." I don't believe there was a sea before the great flood. After the great flood, God caused the waters to recede from the face of the earth, popped up the mountains and smashed down the valleys and caused all the water to run off. Man doesn't believe an ounce of that. But boy, all you got to look is at the Grand Canyon. You look at any of the land formations around here, and they just tell us over and over again that there was a time when this earth was different. Verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears," number 2, "from their eyes, and there shall be no more death," number 3, "neither sorrow," number 4, "nor crying," number 5, "neither shall there be any more pain," number 6, "for the former things are passed away." Since outlining this a couple weeks ago, I woke up in pain every morning and saying, there's going to come a day when there's no more pain. Praise the Lord. And we can't imagine some of these things. But the seventh no more that's listed here in this text is given in verse 8. And there's going to be no more sin. When you got saved, if you got saved, and I'm trusting here that you did give a testimony of your salvation. When you got saved, you were saved from the penalty of sin. As we live and walk through this life, we are saved from the power of sin. That's called sanctification. And there's coming a day, again, when we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin, even as I just read there in Revelation chapter 21. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's called the resurrection chapter. And I'm going to run through a bunch of scriptures here real quickly. to get a good handle on some things about where Jeannie's at right now and what's going on there in heaven, the very presence of God with Jeannie and with our saved loved ones that have gone on before us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, this is a resurrection chapter. Look at verse 19 first. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And so that's in there, I believe, with the venue that, again, Christians, although we have a friend that walks with us, we're the enemies of this world. And boy, we're seeing it pop up in America again. We're seeing again that show up, that we are not going to fit into this world when Christ moves into our soul. And if we're going to be a witness for Christ, we're going to be offensive to some people. And we're not going to just fit right in and have an easy life if you're going to be a testimony. One fellow said, well, I've never had any trouble with Satan. Well, you don't have any trouble with Satan when you're walking the same way he is, okay? But boy, when you become a child of God, turn around, walk the other way, again, we're going to have a new life in Christ, and that's the hope that keeps us going, the Bible says. Verse 20, then, of this chapter says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. We want to look at that term, first fruits, and understand that we're going to be first fruits. Christ is the first fruits, and we're going to follow after and do what he did in his resurrected body. Verse 21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And that's another reason why Christ had to be man in order to, again, accomplish this. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ's at his coming. There's going to be a resurrection of our bodies at his coming. And when he comes, again, we can see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there'll be a sound of a trumpet, and that trumpet's going to say to us, come up hither. And those that are alive and remain shall never die, Jesus said. But again, it explains there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And so we're looking for that moment and listening for that trumpet and understanding that there is going to be a resurrection of these old bodies. And it doesn't matter where your body's at. Again, if you were ate in the ocean by 1,000 fish and scattered all over the place, God's going to put it back together. There's nothing we can do. The Catholic Church had a teaching that if you cremate a body, it can never be resurrected. That's false teaching again. And so there's nothing that we could do to this shell of a body that would cause it, that God could not put it back together and resurrect it again. There's been some question about whether we will recognize each other in our resurrected body. Those that resurrected Christ, we're going to see here again, those that recognized Christ's resurrected body and saw the nail prints or nail holes in his hands and in his feet and the riven side that he had. And he showed them to Thomas, if you remember. And so, yes, we'll have a recognizable body in heaven. Not only that, but as a first fruits here, everything that Christ had in his resurrected body, we'll have in our resurrected body. So I want you to think about that for a minute. He was held by his feet in Matthew chapter 28. And he appeared in another form, it says, in Mark 16. In Luke, he ate fish And I don't know that he appeared in another form. Remember again when he was appeared to the disciples. And he was there on shore after the second great catch of fish there. And as he stood on shore, he had fish and bread all made, and they came to shore. And none dared ask him who he was because they knew him again. Remember the disciples on the Emmaus Road, they didn't recognize him until he broke bread. And then they knew him. It says, in fact, we're in 1 Corinthians. Turn back a couple chapters to chapter 13. I like this verse. I think it fits into what we're talking about here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, is the chapter on charity. Look at verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Listen, you're going to be known in heaven. First off, I want you to recognize you're going to be known by our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to say again that we won't be known, or to misconstrue that we won't know each other again, I think dashes in the face of the verse there that we're going to know things beyond what we know here. And now we look at things and it's kind of hard to see all these things. But there's going to come a day when we are known even as we are going to know even as we are known. I said in the book of Luke, and these things are given of Jesus' resurrected body so that we'd have a good understanding of it. But he ate fish and honeycomb when he appeared there in Luke chapter 24. He also in Luke there it says he opened their understanding. I like that. He opened their understanding. And he taught them. Remember with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, he taught them all things of Christ out of the scriptures. In John chapter 20, we find that he entered a closed room. And we don't know how he did that. But he did it in his resurrected body. And his resurrected body was just suddenly appeared in the closed. And I believe, again, the disciples had the place well sealed, secured, and closed up. And yet, Christ appeared in their midst. He breathed on them, it says in John 20, verse 22. He had open wounds. We sing songs that mention the scars that Jesus carries, but the Bible never says they're scars. A scar is something that's healed over. The Bible says he has opened wounds that did not heal, and I believe again that he'll carry those wounds through eternity. Heard it said in Riddle, the only man-made thing in heaven, it's going to be the wounds that Christ bears for our sin. Then the Bible says after 40 days, he ascended in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. He lifted up off the earth and was carried off into heaven. So we're going to have a resurrected body that's like Christ's resurrected body. It's going to be an incorruptible body, and it's going to be recognizable, and it's going to be our old body. I hope it's not this ugly. But we're going to recognize one another. We're going to see each other. I'm going to see my mom in heaven. I'm going to see my dad in heaven. And as we ponder around here on this earth, there's a couple verses that seem to assure us of that. Not only that, but the fact that they can see us right now. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, right after the Hall of Fame of Faith, and lists all these prophets and preachers and people who gave their lives for Christ. And then in chapter 12, it calls them, and it says to us here on this earth, seeing therefore we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. So they're witnessing what's going on down here on this earth. And not only that, they're not witnessing through a glass darkly. They're witnessing what's going on here on this earth, the Bible says. They're witnessing the struggle that you and I are in. They're witnessing the warfare. They're witnessing the anarchy in the streets of America. They're witnessing. And in Revelation, the fifth seal is those that were killed and martyred during the tribulation time. That's not during the church age, but their souls are waiting to be clothed upon with bodies. So we'll have resurrected bodies at that point, because it happens at the rapture. But those that are killed during that tribulation time, it says their souls are witnessing what's going on and saying, How long, O Lord, before vengeance is taken? And they're part of the first resurrection, and their bodies are resurrected after that 7-year tribulation period. So we see these things and we put them together to understand, again, that being in heaven is a far better place, because you're in the very presence of God. And being in the presence of God, we're going to see things as He sees them. And we're going to, again, have a resurrected body applied to us one day at the rapture of the church. And our bodies will be just like Christ's resurrected body. The Bible says we ought to groan for it. Look at Romans chapter 8. I like this verse. While we're at Romans chapter 8, don't miss the first verse. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so we have the Spirit of God within us. And look what it says in chapter 8, verse 23. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 21 says, "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." Remember, we have Christ as the first fruits, as it said, of the resurrection. Here it's talking about the first fruits of the Spirit, and that's the indwelling Spirit of God. That's what we have right now, is the very presence of Christ inside of us. The Spirit of God dwells in us, and we are the temple of the living God. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And so there again, we ought to be groaning for this resurrected body. We ought to be addicted to it. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where my outline is, and turn back one more chapter and look with me at chapter 16 and verse 15. I like this. "I beseech you, brethren," parentheses. So he's given a plea here. He's closing out the first letter to the church of Corinth, which was indeed a carnal church. And then he says, "I beseech you, brethren." He has this parentheses here. "Ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." I don't know if you're the first person saved in your family. I'm like a second generation Christian. Rebecca over here would be Lena. Third, fourth generation Christian. And so, notice here that there was a bunch that are called this first fruits of salvation, first fruits in Christ. And so there are sometimes you're the first in the family to get saved. And listen, when that happens, notice here that there ought to be an addiction. Now, listen, in Christianity, we spend a lot of time trying to break addictions, but here's one.